Morning. Today's daf in Sanhedrin is Ayin Ches. We are Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. We're at the bottom of the Amud, and we're talking about Koach. In order to be Chayiv Misup, for a person to be a Rotzeach, a murderer, what we would call in this country, murder. What's it called? What's the top level, top tier of murder? Your first degree murder. No, thank you. So but I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not really sure if I'm using these terms correctly. Anyway, I know a little bit of Gemara. So in order to be charged with murder, so that you're going to be chayv misa, it has to be the koach. You have to do it directly with your hands. Any type of grum, any type of action that doesn't directly result in the death, but rather starts the ball rolling so that the person's going to die. So under those circumstances, so you're not going to be chayv misa. It's wrong. It's heinous. It's, you know, I can come up with a number of adjectives to describe it, but it's not, there's no chayv misa, simply because in order to be chayv misa, it has to be koach and it has to be biyadayim. We talked yesterday a little bit about what is, if we could just try to give good working definitions of what is considered koach, a direct force, versus something which is indirect. And so yesterday the Gemara talked about bouncing a ball off a wall, or a rock off a wall. So if I bounce a rock off a wall, is that considered koach biyadayim, or is that considered a gurama? So the Gemara's argument yesterday was very clear. It's considered koach. It's considered a koach that when you bounce a ball against the wall, even though obviously once it bounces off the wall, it's heading now in a new trajectory, but still, in other words, the understanding is that this is physics, this is, you know, action reaction, and so in your action of throwing it against the wall, and as the Gemara described yesterday, you're standing really up and close against the wall, so in your action of doing so, the reaction, the bouncing, and even though it's a new trajectory, is still considered part and parcel of your action. And therefore, you're going to be chayiv if somebody were to die under those circumstances. What the Gemara now wanted to do is test this theory in other areas of halacha. Meaning, in other areas of halacha, we also need a koach. And seemingly, in two other places in halacha, it does not seem that a bounce, a new trajectory, is actually going to result in a koach. So, for example, yesterday we talked about the kiddush of the Efer Paraduma. By placing the Efer Paraduma in the Mechatas, so the Gemara yesterday said that if it goes directly into the water, that's fine, but if it bounces off the wall and then goes into the water, that's not fine. And so that would seem to give the indication that that's not considered a koach. And what the Gemara suggested yesterday is, no, we're not reading that Mishnah correctly. The correct way to read the Mishnah is that the ashes fell off your hand. But in other words, you didn't throw the ashes into the water. Under those circumstances, then it's not considered a kiddush. But if you throw it into the water, it's just that it didn't go directly into the water. It first hit the side, and then it went into the water. That would be fine. That's what the Gemara said. That's what we got up to yesterday. And we are continuing now in the Gemara with the words Amar Rav Papa. Amar Rav Papa is on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. It's towards the bottom of the Amud. And no, I'm sorry. Back up one case, Tashma. We have one more case to go through. So there's one other area in halacha where it would seem to indicate that there's a requirement that a bounce, a reverberation, is not considered koach based on the following. Consider machash ayinusuna al hacheres. Let's say you have a needle. The needle came into contact with Tumas Meis. So you want to be mentari the needle. You want to purify it. What do? So you got to sprinkle it with the ashes of the paraduma. The ashes mixed together with the water of the paraduma. So you take the azov, you take the hyssop, you dip it in, and you spritz it. And now the only thing you need is you need some of that water to come into contact with the needle. It's actually pretty straightforward. Here's the problem. So right now it's a really small needle, so it's a small target. So you take the water, you take the azov, you dip it into the water, and you sprinkle it. And here's what you know. That, or at least this is the way we think we're going to read the Mishnah, is that, and the needle was on cheres, it was on earthenware. So, vihiza aleha, and I sprinkled it on the needle. Safik ala machar hiza, safik ala cheres hiza, umitza aleha. So, right now, here's what I know for sure. Needle's wet. Okay. But, I don't know, I'm not sure if the water came directly onto the needle, or maybe what happens is that the water hit the cheres, the earthenware, bounced off the earthenware and hit the needle. So what do I do now, considering that I don't know if the water directly hit the needle? So he's a hazas apostle. So the Mishnah tells us that the hazas is considered no good. Okay, and it's going to be disqualified. So, sounds like now that if it hit on a bounce, it's no good. So, this again would give us another indication that a bounce is not considered your koach. Seems pretty clear. Amrav Chinana bar Yehuda Mishmed Rav Matzah Itmar. So the Gemara says that what we're going to do is we're going to take that Mishnah and we're going to make an editorial change of that Mishnah. The Mishnah has the word mitzah. Mitzah, right, mem yud sadi hey, it's kind of like squeeze out. It doesn't fit so well over here. But the way we originally read the Mishnah is that we know the needle's wet. Here's what we're not sure. We're not sure if it either the water landed directly on the needle, which would have been fine. That's tahara. Or it bounced off the cheres and landed on the needle. Mitzah kind of is like the idea that it was like squeezed off the wall and hit the needle, and it's no good. And again, if that's the right way to read the Mishnah, so that would prove that a rebound is not considered your koach. What the Gemara is now doing is that taking the word and changing it to matzah. Matzah means you found the water on the needle. And as Rashi explains over here, now we are dealing with a number of concerns, or a number, I should say, better, of possibilities. Look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Matzah Edmar, Lav Lashon Mitsui, Davi Hitz the Ketani. The word is not Mitsui, but rather, Elah Lashon Mitzia, Klamar, Hazan Nimtses Alaha. The word over here in the Mishnah, the correct wording of the Mishnah is Matzah, Mem Sadi Aleph, it was found. Rashi goes on to explain. Ve'en Yadua Im B'tchila Siza Allah. So here, possibility number one. The water hit the needle directly, which would have been good. Oh. Chazer mikoach hitus, or maybe it bounced off the cheres and hit the needle, which right now we're arguing also would be good. Oh, shema lo zeh velo zeh, el al cheres izah, v'haya majon, v'halchaza, al macha deleka kocha klal. There's another possibility. The third possibility, says Rashi, is that it landed on the cheres, and that's it. Now, it happened to have been that the cheres was at an incline. So gravity now is going to take it and push it into the direction of the needle. That for sure is not your koach. We all will agree. Gravity is not you. Gravity is gravity. It's a separate force. So therefore, if this possibility is true, so then you didn't properly sprinkle the water onto the needle, and therefore it does not receive a tahara. It is interesting, by the way, because generally speaking, when we talk about suffix, we're talking about 50-50, generally speaking, right? 50% this way, 50% that way. But here, it's just interesting because with the way Rashi sets up the Gemara, there are three distinct possibilities of what happened, meaning we know the water is on the needle. It's just how it got there. So either possibility number one, it hit directly, possibility number two, it hit off the bounce, or possibility number three is that it just landed on the cheres and gravity pulled in the direction of the needle. So of those three possibilities, two of them would be okay, one of them would not be okay. So it's just interesting. Now,
well, it's still 50-50 that is it okay or not. Two are okay, one is right.
50-50 conclusion, right. I know, right. This is why I think it's interesting. Right. It's 50-50 conclusion, right. But in terms of how to get to that conclusion, so okay. The two of those three possibilities are good and one of them is no good. So again, it is interesting because the Mishnah certainly treats it like a 50-50 case, and I could make an argument. Obviously, my argument's not right, but I can make an argument that it really should be two-thirds versus one-third, considering the distinct possibilities of what happened. Let's continue in the Gemara.
Gravity is that koach, your koach, if I throw from the stone from the roof, and it falls on the head.
Stay tuned. We're not going to address your question directly, but the Gemara is going to play around a little bit with your idea. Amar Papa Haiman Dekatvi Lechavre, a person who tied up his friend. Okay, again, when we say friendship over here, we're using these terms really loosely in the context of our Gemaras. Or let's put it this way, by the way. If there was a friendship, I feel like it's probably not going to be a lasting friendship. But anyway, so a person tied up his friend, and opened up water. I mean, I'd say waterboarding, but it's whatever. But it's more than that, though. In other words, so you're opening up a very strong stream of water to the point where now he's going to be suffocating under the water. So, giridi dehu, umechayev. Because he's right next to the waterfall that you created, so that's considered like an arrow. Meaning the water to you is like a weapon. It'd be no different than shooting an arrow. Shooting an arrow is for sure kawach. You're for sure chayev misa. So here too, if you're opening up the water and the water's right next to him, that for sure is also going to be considered a capital crime of ritzicha, of murder, and you'd be subject to the death penalty. But that's only koach rishon, but if it's koach sheni, so that's considered grama. Now, it of course begs the question. Koach rishon versus koach sheni. I can use fancy English words to describe that as well. A primary power, a primary cause versus a secondary cause. Okay, but practically speaking, in the case of the water, what exactly does that mean? So I'll read Rashi. Yeah, so you already read Rashi. So Rashi writes, "Bekoch Rishon, kishepina lam derech litzadzeh miyad naflu alav davi kochal." If when I open up the water and allow the water now to escape, and he's directly underneath that water, so that's considered koach rishon, says Rashi. Koach sheni, says Rashi, shinichu rachok kitzas. Where now he's at a distance from the water. So in other words, I open up the water, now the water is going to be running and hitting him, but not immediately at a distance. V'lo nafal amayim miyad b'tseiso, migidro seyan, alav, el acher mikan, halchu al amakom, shusham, gramahu v'lo mikocho. So that's considered a case of grama, and it's not mikoach, and therefore one's going to be potter. Now, even after reading the Rashi, still, what does that mean? Immediate versus a little bit further away. So, you know, it'd be better if we gave like linear measurements, but somehow we're going to have to wrap our head around this idea that the first rush,
so the water didn't come.
Yeah, right. I hear you. Right. So, you know, just it's you know a little bit hard to delineate, but I hear you. In other words, that first rush of water that hits them after you open up the water, that's a weapon. That's considered koach rishon, right? But if there's a flow and then it hits somebody after it started flowing, so that's considered koach sheni. And once again, was that a crime? Absolutely. Are you chayv misa? No, you're not chayv misa. Okay, v'amar rav papa. Continuing now, we're on the bottom of Ein Zayin and Beis. Zarek Tzor Lamala V'Achalif Zadim V'Harga Chayev. Okay, so let's say I throw a rock at somebody, and I throw it at an arc. Okay, so now, this is real physics. Okay, so basically now, in this arc, there really are two trajectories. Right? There is a X and there's a Y. Okay, so you guys remember your physics? I remember very little of my physics. And I took it back in college as well. But in other words, but basically there are two trajectories to talk about. There's the horizontal trajectory, well, that's the X, and then there's the vertical, which is the Y. Now the vertical really is taking care of gravity, meaning the fact that it's going to go up and it's going to go down along its path, so that's a gravitational pull. That's a force, but that's not yours. The fact that it's going horizontally, well, that's a you, because you're the one who gave the force to head it horizontally. So really you have two forces acting on this arced stone that you threw. So one being a gravitational force, which is not you, the other one being a horizontal, which is you. So what Rav Papa's teaching us is chayev. As long as there is some horizontal trajectory, so that means that including this throw is going to be your force. Amle Mabar Ravashra Papa Maitamishim Dekocho Hu E Kocho Tezel Lael. So the Gemara says, well, if it's koach, so when you throw it up, where should it continue going? It should continue going up. Meaning, what the Gemara is now trying to argue is, you can't call that your koach, because if it was strictly and exclusively your koach, it should continue ascending up. But of course, we know that's not true. Physics tells us, right? Just simple observation of the world tells us, it's going to come down. Now, the reason why it's going to come down is because of something called gravity. But gravity isn't you. Gravity is its own independent force. So what the Gemara now is arguing is that since it's gravity that's bringing it down, so this is grumma, and this is not considered koach. So the Gemara says, V'i lav kocho hu tezel atachas. And if you didn't have any koach, it should go straight down. And so the Gemara says, Ela koach kachush hu. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? It is koach, although albeit a diminished koach. Rashi on the top of Ayin Chesem and Aleph. Einu kocho chazak ela kitzas kocho. So yeshkan. So it's not. You're right. It's not a full koach. Meaning me throwing a fastball, right, and basically it heading on a straight line, and of course understanding it's going to drop off a little bit. It'll tail off a little bit, but in other words, but. If it's going in a straight line and it's fighting gravity and it's really it's clearly demonstrable that the force injected into it is all me, so then it's clear. Over here, however, because I threw it in an arc, so basically you see the two forces acting upon it, my force and the gravitational force. But what the Gemara says is that it's still koach, admittedly diminished, but still koach. Look, again, let me go over that Rashi again from the beginning. Einu kochel chazak ala ketzas kochel yishkan. V'hai delo azal la'el, mishim shekala kochel chozik azrika, ve'evin chozer asaretz. Now the fact that it doesn't keep going up, well, that's because you have the gravitational pull. Aval adayin holachesi mimikzas kochel. But it's still heading in a horizontal, meaning in an arc, it's both X and Y. So it's still heading in a horizontal. So since it's still heading in a horizontal, it's clearly still part of your force. It's still considered koach, and therefore you're going to be chayav under those circumstances.
Once we say it's like gravity is like a secretion, like you know it's going to happen. So
I understand that, but
we say that,
right,
you know,
right.
So why make it somebody else's koach?
Right. Right, right. It would seem from our Gemara, although the Gemara does not say it, it would seem from our Gemara, and I know the Rishonim discussed this, that if I throw the stone straight up and it comes down again, that's not considered koach. That's considered grama. Now again, it is a secondary force. In other words, if you think about grama in its most basic definition, it means that, yes, I'm the one who gave it the initial force, but then there was a secondary force, and because he was killed with a secondary force, so therefore I'm not going to be chayv misa. Again, it's heinous, it's wrong, it's a crime, etc., etc. But I'm not going to be chayv misa. It certainly sounds from the Gemara that if I throw it directly up and then it comes back down and it hits somebody, so I'm not going to be chayv misa. Okay. That's what it would seem like from the Gemara. Again, the Gemara does not spell that out clearly, but it would certainly seem that way. Tanur Rabbanan. Okay. We're now on the very top of Ayin Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara now discusses this case that we've discussed already previously in the Masechta. We discussed it back in Baba Kama. Hikau asar b'nei adam b'asar makalos. So, umeis. So, Rachman l'tzlan, a person got a real gang beating. And 10 people are there beating him. And bein b'vasach is bein b'zeach is epiturim. So, because no one person was responsible for his death, but rather a multiple group of people were responsible for his death, so each one of them is going to be putter. Now, again, do I need to reiterate it? I will. I just for purposes of clarity. Meaning, putter just simply means that no one's going to be subject to the capital punishment and the capital penalty. Like Rashi said earlier in this parak, after 120 years, and I suspect that he won't be making it 120 years, but after 120 years, so Akash Baruch, who's based in Shomala, is going to deal with him. So in other words, the Gemara here is not exonerating. The Gemara is just simply saying, technically not chayev misa bidei adam. In other words, we can't subject him to capital punishment in the courts down here. So you're going to be pater. And Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra Omer Bezeach Zeh Achron Chayev. Mimne Shekiriv Es Misa So. And Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra says no. So in a scenario, meaning under the following circumstance. If they're all hitting him simultaneously, so they're all going to be exempt. Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra will concede that point. If, let's say, however, the beating comes one individual after another, 10 people surrounding him, each one taking turns in the beating. The last person who beats the life out of him, so he's going to be chayav misa. He's the one who extinguished the life, even though, admittedly, it was with the assistance of others, but he was the one who was makib apatish, he put the final blow in, and therefore he's going to be chayav misa. I'm Rav Yochanan, Shemi Kraya Chadosh. Now Rav Yochanan says that this machlokes between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra is actually learned out from the same pasuk. V'ish ki yake kol nefesh adam. The pasuk says that when a man hits kol nefesh adam. Now the word kol, and you can almost follow this along often throughout the Torah, where the kol can have one of two definitions. Kol can mean all, or kol can mean any. Right, it works out well in English. All or any. Rabbanan sever kol nefesh adika kol nefesh. And according to the Chachamim, when the Torah says that in order to be subject to the capital punishment, so it has to be where you extinguish kol nefesh, all the life. So that means, and to the younger ones amongst us, you'll appreciate this a lot better. Sorry, older generation, you're not going to appreciate this much. But like in the video game, like in other words, they give you a bar of like life force that, you know, that your character has. And so basically in order to be chayv misa, so you have to be the one who depleted the life force from the beginning to the end. That is the shita of the Chachamim. If let's say the life force was already removed mostly by other people, and then you just knocked out the last little bit, according to the Chachamim, you didn't take out kol nefesh, and therefore you're not going to be chayv misa. And Rav Yehuda ben Beserah says kol nefesh, kol duhu nefesh. And Rav Yehuda ben Beserah says, no, when the Torah says the word kol nefesh, it doesn't mean all, it means any. If you take out any of the life, but when we say any of the life, it means any that resulted in death. So in other words, the nine people that hit him originally beat life out of him. Not the life, but beat life out of him. And then you come along and you give him the tenth blow and you kill him. So now, you took out kol nefesh, meaning you were the one that was ultimately responsible for his death. Admittedly, you had help, but you're the one who's responsible for his death. You took out kol nefesh, not all life, but any life. Meaning you're the one who depleted him from wherever he was, let's say 1%, 2%, down to zero. So therefore, you're going to be chayav misa. That is the machlokas between the Tanakhama and the Chacham, and between Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda ben Beserah. In other words, they may be subject to hezek, maybe, and right. It gets a little bit more complicated because if the nature of their blow was that they were looking to kill him, so then you may be able to argue something along the lines of kimle, even though technically they're not going to get misa. I'm sorry for making it more complicated than it should be, but it may be.
But if the first person hit him hard enough, he would have died.
Stay tuned. That question is going to be discussed in the Gemara. Amar Rav Komodin Bahar gets a treif ashud pater. Okay. And now this brings us to a really interesting discussion. The Gemara and some of the upcoming Gemaras are going to be extremely indelicate. Okay, but you've been around the Gemara long enough, especially in Sanhedrin, so we're discussing indelicate matters. Some of the upcoming Gemaras are going to be very graphic. So the so let's say your Haruk is a treifa. Now, treifa over here goes like this. When we generally think about treifa, we think about animals. We know that if an animal has one of its internal organs that are punctured, wounded, severed, so not wounded, but punctured or severed, so there's an actual lacuna, there's a hole in one of the internal organs. So the animal is holech lamos, the animal is going to die, and the animal therefore is a treifa. And as we learn back in Chulin, as we will learn in Chulin, actually it's coming up, in the third parak of Chulin, so the Mishnayos over there and the Gemaras over there are going to take us anatomically throughout the entire animal, going through all the vital organs of the animal. What if there's a hole? What if there's a puncture? What if there's a laceration in any one of the internal organs? And we're going to learn in great detail in terms of what renders the animal a treifa. For our purposes, all we need to know is following. That if you have a vital organ that's punctured and now the animal is going to die, so the animal is considered as if it's already dead. Okay? Even if you shech the animal, it's a health dish. It's not going to help you. The animal's a treifa and you can't eat the animal. The Torah says, what do you do with it? A kelv tash lechuno, so you give it to the dog. Okay, but we're not talking about animals. In Sanhedrin, we're talking about people. But people also could be a treifa. So Rashi over here says, let's say he has a puncture in his esophagus. Rashi says, let's say he has a puncture in the membrane of his head, of his skull. So now that person is a treifa, so he is terminal. In halacha, a treifa is considered like a dead man. He's a dead man walking. Okay, so, right, the Gemara is never going to talk about zombies, but basically, you know, right, I say this, you know, with a little bit of humor, morbid humor in the course of today's daf, but basically he's a zombie. He's a dead man walking. So, let's say you kill the treifa. So, Rava says, pater. So you're not considered a murderer, because he's dead already. Okay. Now, again, I'm going to just keep repeating myself, forgive me, but in other words, it doesn't mean it's okay, far from it. It just simply means that you're not subject to the capital punishment of being a rotzeach. In other words, it's still wrong in every respect. It just simply means that you're not going to be subject to misa bidei adam. Begoses bidei shamayim shu chayav. Now, let's say somebody dying a natural death. Okay, in other words, there's no internal organ that's wounded or punctured. It just happens to be that. It's the fate of us all. And the person now is just dying a natural death. And what do? You accelerate that, right? You kill him a little bit earlier. So everyone agrees, chayev. That's murder, that's ritzicha, and that's going to be subject to the death penalty. So here we have now the two very clear extremes. On one side, you have the treifa, which everyone agrees that if you kill a treifa, you'll be pater. Everybody also agrees that if you kill the ghost, you're going to be chayev. Now, lo nechluku ela b'gosis bidei adam. Over here, however, where do we have the debate? Where he's a ghostis, but the ghostis was caused by trauma, meaning the case that we've been discussing since the top of the Amud. He got a beating, followed by a beating, followed by a beating. Nine people are beating the life out of him. They just have, he just hasn't died yet. But in other words, the nine people are beating him to death. He just hasn't arrived at the point of death. And along comes the tenth person, and the tenth person now gives him the final blow that kills him. So now, he's what the Gemara describes as a goseis bidei Adam. He is dying, but man-made, man-caused. Is this person now, meaning person number 10, is he going to be subject to the death penalty? So, marma dama lele trefa, marma dama lele goseis bidei Shemayim. And the Gemara says now, and this is exactly what is subject to the debate between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. Meaning, this is a middle case. Does it stratify closer to the case of trefa, or does it stratify closer to the case of goseis bidei Shemayim? Manda madama lele trefa, my tamala madama lele goseis bidei Shemayim, goseis bidei Shemayim, lo yisavid bei maisa. So the hi is Ave Be Maisa. So the reason why one of the opinions would not compare it to a Goses Bidei Shemayim is because over here, as opposed to Goses Bidei Shemayim, natural causes. Nobody externally got him to this point. It just happens to be the reality of life, the frailty of humanity, where the person is dying. But it's not based on an external cause. It's just simply because that's natural. Over here, when nine people are beating life out of him, and along comes the tenth person and beats him, this is much more similar to trefa, as this was externally caused. And manda madame le gosus bidei shamayim, matamala madame le trefa, trefa michat chisimanim, hala michat chisimanim. On the other hand, you could take the other position, which is, no, this is much more similar to gosus, and it's not similar to trefa. Because trefa, there is an actual organ that is ruptured. The esophagus has a puncture in it. The membrane of the brain has a puncture in it. Over here, it's more similar to Goses Bidei Shemayim because none of his organs are physically damaged. It's trauma, and it's blunt trauma, but it's not similar to a trefa. So basically, here's the extremes and here's the middle. The extremes are, you kill somebody who's a trefa, you're pater. You kill somebody who's a ghost, is bidei shemayim, somebody who's dying a natural death, and you just accelerate his death, you're a murderer. And then the middle ground is our case. Our case where people are beating life out of him, you come along and you give him the final blow, the makah bepatish. So are you a murderer or are you exempt from capital punishment? Machlokus, and the Gemara says that the machlokus basically is, which, how to categorize this middle case. Is it closer in nature to the trefa, or is it closer in nature to the ghosts bidei shemayim? Continuing in the Gemara. Tini tana kama de Rav Sheshes v'ish kiyaka kol nefesh adam la'avi amakas chavero ve'ein bo kedei lahamis. The Abraisa describes a person who, if a person kills kol nefesh adam, what is that coming to include? La'avi amakas chavero ve'ein bo kedei lahamis. You hit somebody, but not a death blow. Uva acher v'himiso, shu'chayev. And then along comes somebody else and gives him a death blow, so the second person is going to be chayev. To which the Gemara, after hearing the braisa, so the Gemara says, what? Ein bo kedei lahamis pshita. Gemara says, well, there was no chiddush. In other words, along comes the first person and gives him a smack. Now, I understand it's much more than a smack, but I use the word smack simply just to highlight, not enough to kill the guy. Okay, even if it was more than a smack, but not enough to kill the guy. And the second guy comes and give him a death blow, of course the second guy is going to be chayv misa. The first guy didn't hit the life out of him. So the Bryce is now teaching us the following. The first person, when the first person hit him, gave him a shot in which he's going to die, but he hasn't died yet. And then along comes another person and gives him also a death blow. A strike hard enough that would kill him, and he killed him. Now the Gemara says, that's what the Bryce is teaching us. That second person is going to be chayev. Why? Because the second person snuffed his life out with that death blow. Now, stomach of Yehuda ben Becerra. Now the Gemara says, now the anonymous Bryce that we just quoted, as we just explained it, that's following the opinion of Rav Yehuda ben Becerra that we saw at the top of the Amud. Which, by the way, now, Phil, responds to your question that you asked me earlier. Right? The nine guys that were beating him, what kind of beating are we talking about? It's clear now from the Gemara that the beating that we're talking about, where the nine guys are really beating the life out of him. It just happens to be that, you know, in other words, we're Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hu, you know, we're all fighters. We don't die immediately. So the So that even though he didn't die immediately from the first nine hits, but they were all giving him the kind of blows which he could have died with any one of those blows. It just happens to be that along comes the 10th guy, Makeh Bepati, she's the one who snuffed out the life. So is now the 10th person going to be Chayiv? So again, as we saw already, it's been the topic of discussion since the beginning of the Samud. Rav Yudah ben Becerra says the 10th person is going to be Chayiv. The Chachamim say he's not going to be Chayiv. And here, this Brisa that we just quoted and we just interpreted is going like Rav Yudah ben Becerra. Amar Rav, Harug is a Trefa Pater. Okay. And so now with that stated, so then now the Gemara is going to give us a series of halachas in the name of Rava involving a Trefa. So again, a Trefa is a person who has one of his internal organs that are punctured to the point where now he's in critical condition. He is going to die and it is going to be imminent based on an actual damage done to an internal organ. And now...
Is that like a disease, you're saying?
No.
No.
No, not a disease. No, no. In other words, let's say his esophagus was punctured.
No, because God forbid cancer.
I can only discuss it from the context of the Gemara, right?
Is it an accident and then it's disease?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was an accident or if it was on purpose.
Huh? Differentiate from
ghosts. Ghosts just simply means he's dying from natural causes. In other words,
death is ghosts, no?
Yeah. Right.
Again,
I appreciate what you're doing. In other words, you're trying to take the Gemara and you're applying it to modern scenario, modern medicine. It's much easier for me, and I'm just being serious, I'm just being honest. It's much easier for me just to discuss it from the context of the Gemara. In other words, in its application to modern medicine, so yeah, we have Rabbi Shabtai. Yeah, in other words, you have people who, you know, are fluent in both worlds and can discuss intelligently. I can discuss barely intelligently just from the Gemara standpoint. Okay, so when we say trefa, what we mean is that one of the internal organs are actually punctured. There's a hole in the esophagus, right? There's a hole in the membrane of the brain. Whether it happened intentionally or accidentally doesn't matter. Meaning such an individual is described as a trefa. And from the Gemara's perspective, that person is terminal, where the death is imminent. And I mean, all of our death is inevitable, but that person's death is more than just inevitable. It is going to happen in a short amount of time. The gosis is just simply somebody who's dying, meaning he's arrived at the end of his life, and it's clear that it's at the end of the life. But it's none of the internal organs are punctured. In other words, it's just his life is coming to an end. Okay. Natural death. Now, how are we going to trefa potter? So, let's go over the basic halachas now. One, you say you kill a trefa, so you're not going to be subject to the death penalty. Okay. Utrefa shaharag bifnei beis din chayev. Shlo bifnei beis din potter. Now, what if the trefa kills? Okay, I know this is interesting. This is the kind of Gemara I don't have to market. It is interesting. If the Trefa kills somebody in front of Beis Din, so Beis Din has to deal with it. Beis Din's going to put him to death. If he doesn't kill in front of Beis Din, but he kills just in front of witnesses, so he's going to be exempt. Why should that be? The Gemara is going to explain. Bifnei Beis Din chayev dechziva v'yartara mikir becha. So if it's done in front of Beis Din, so Beis Din has to address it. The Torah says it will be Arta Arab Mikarbecha because Beis Din's mission statement, their purpose, right, their raison d'etre, is that they have to get evil out of this world. They have to eradicate evil. If they see it, so they have to respond. The person's dying, it doesn't matter. Meaning, he's a Rasha, did a crime directly in front of Beis Din. Beis Din has to respond. Okay. Shlo bifnei Beis Din pater. But what if it wasn't done in front of Beis Din, but witnesses saw it? So here, on a strict technicality, so he can't be brought to Beis Din, he can't be tried in front of Beis Din. What's the technicality? So it's a real technicality. And the problem is, it's a failure of Eidus. We know because we keep saying this again and again. In order to qualify as an aid, you have to be subject to the same penalty that the defendant, the alleged criminal, is subject to. But in this particular case, what is the alleged criminal? The alleged criminal is somebody who's dead. So now, what are we going to do with the Edom? Well, Edom, if you come out to be lying, and you fabricate the story, and a second pair of Edom come in and say, Mano Yisim HaMakom Plon, you were with us at the time, how could you testify? So what are we going to do to the Edom? We're going to kill the Edom. But that's not what they intended to do to the alleged criminal, because he was dead already. So they were just looking to kill a dead man. And so now, we can't do to the Edom what they intended to do to the alleged criminal. Now, I know it takes, think about it some more. I it's a real brain teaser, but it's just a technicality. But based on a technicality, so the trefa is not going to be tried, not going to be convicted. As I mentioned earlier, the Gemara is going to be indelicate. Okay, here we are. So a person sodomizes the trefa. So the one who does so is going to be subject to the death penalty, meaning it's Mishkav Zachor, and you're going to be chayev. Now, I'll let the Gemara say it. I don't have to say it out right now. The Gemara is going to say it. So just stay with me a little bit longer on this Gemara. Treifa shirab ivnei beisin chayev shalab ivnei beisin pater. Now, what if the treifa himself sodomizes? So if he sodomizes another person, so if it's done directly in front of beisin, so again, beisin has that. Well, the Gemara is going to spell it out. Bifnei beisin chayev tichliv riata ram mikabecha shalab ivnei beisin pater davlei edushiyator chalazimo. So, if done in front of Basin, so again, Basin has an obligation, a mission statement of eliminating rishus from this world. If it was done in front of Basin, Basin has no choice but to put the person to death. However, if it was done only in front of Adim, so again, on a technicality, the witnesses can't testify about him in court, because again, for the witnesses to serve as witnesses, you must be able to do to them what is going to be done to the alleged criminal. But what is going to be done to the alleged criminal? You're killing a dead man. And by the Edim, they're not dead men. So, it's Edu Shiyato Yechol Azimu. Now, Hasulam Ali, Hainuach. Gemara's question. The second example is the same as the first example. What did we learn new from the second example of the first example? HaRovas HaTrefa Yitzterichle. So, it says, the Gemara says, I'll tell you what we learned from the second example. And that is, Ma'u Detem Alahavikam Ad Meshamish Meis, Vili Pater. So, the Gemara says, look, in the second example, we talked about a person sodomizing a shreifa. Here's the argument one would have made or could have made, and that it's basically necrophilia. Now, necrophilia, as disgusting as that is, as heinous as that is, it's not you're not chayav misa. In other words, you're not subject to the death penalty. So I might have made the argument that since a shreifa is considered a dead man walking, so it'd be tantamount to sodomizing a dead person. Sodomizing a dead person is not considered is not a capital punishment. So maybe sodomizing the trefa should be the same. So So the Gemara says what we're introducing over here is a following chiddush, is that for the person who is sodomizing the trefa, so for him, he's going to be chayiv misa because the chayiv misa is being incurred as a result of hana, and he is receiving hana, and therefore he's going to be chayiv misa. Okay. Amar Rava. Edim she'edu b'treifa, v'huz mo'ein aragim. Okay, so Rava says that if witnesses testify about a treifa and they are discovered to be edim zomimim, so they're not going to be put to death. So we already made this point previously. Okay, again, that's the technicality. Ede treifa shehuzmu ne'aragin. Now, the ede treifa, so if, meaning the witnesses themselves turn out to be treifas. Okay, so it's a strange scenario. So the witnesses in question over here who saw the crime, came to Basin to report what they saw, they happen to be treifas. So it's fascinating, meaning they're dead men walking, but right now, you know, they're functioning, they're alive. So can they testify? Not only Rava says, can they testify, but you could put somebody to death based on their testimony. And Ravashi says, no. The same technicality we had for people testifying about a treifa who committed a capital crime is going to also exist for the witnesses who turn out to be treifa. Because consider, for the witnesses who turn out to be treifa, for the witnesses who are treifas, let's think about it now. In the event that you had another set of witnesses who came along and said, well, these first pair of witnesses, I don't know what they're talking about, these first pair of witnesses were with us at the time. So, are you going to be able now to do to the witnesses what they conspired to do to the defendant if there's a second pair of Edim Zomimim? So, in a scenario where the first set of witnesses were Trefos, so then you can't have a second pair of witnesses be Mazim the first pair. So, the same technicality, legal technicality that exempted the criminal who was a Trefa, is, says Ravashi, going to be the same legal technicality that's going to get out the Edim Zomimim if they themselves also be treif as well. Now, Rashi over here Well, it deals with a simple question, and that is, well, doesn't Rava know that? Meaning, I know the argument is a little bit complicated, but once you follow the argument, it really does make perfect sense. Meaning, to be an aide, you must be able to be subject to the same penalty as the criminal. So if the criminal is a dead man walking and all you're doing is just killing a criminal, so you can't kill the Edom Zomimim, and the same thing is true if the Edom Zomimim themselves are trefas, so then they themselves will not be subject to the same punishment in the event of the second pair of witnesses. Rav Ashi's point is logical, once you accept this legal technicality. So what would Rava say in response to that? Rashi points out that what Rava would say is that Edom Zomimim is such a chiddush that even though the Edom Zomimim themselves turn out to be trefas, and we can't do to the mazimim what we're going to do to the zomimim, but still, Edom Zomimim is such a novel idea, such a chiddush, that they are going to be subject to the death penalty. Amarava, shur trefa shahara chayev. Let's say the ox that kills somebody is a trefa, and the ox is still going to be subject to the death penalty. Shur shal adam trefa shahara pater. However, if the shur was owned by, its owner was a trefa, and the ox kills somebody as a loop, as an exemption, the ox is not going to be subject to the death penalty. Why not? My time, I'm a crush, or Isa Kevagam, but I love you must. What the Torah does is the Torah links the ox to its owner. And what an interesting argument of the Gemara. And that is because the owner and its ox are linked, if I can't put the owner to death because the owner is a trefa, so then I can't put the ox to death as well. And all Rav Ashi does is he just loops this argument all the way around. Well, if the fate of the ox is tied to the owner, so the fate of the owner is going to be tied to the ox. Meaning, if the ox itself is a trefa and the ox kills, well, since now, it had the owner been a trefa, I wouldn't have been able to kill the owner. So, and since the ox now, its fate is linked with the owner, so that means that even if the ox itself is a trefa, so since I couldn't kill the owner under such circumstances, I also can't kill its ox under such circumstances as well. Okay. Last thing we learned together in the Mishnah is where you held the snake in your hand, and basically you whipped the snake onto somebody. And the snake then took a bite out of somebody and killed them by inserting the venom into that person. Are you considered a rotzeach, yes or no? And it's a machlokus in the Mishnah. The Mishnah brought down a machlokus between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether such an individual is considered a rotzeach. Now, if you think about it, it's much easier to make the argument that you should be chayv miso. It's a weapon, right? You have a knife in your hand, and you hit somebody with the knife, you're chayv miso. That's a weapon. So if you're holding the snake in your hand, and you whip the snake at somebody, and the venom hits, and the venom now goes into the person and kills them, it's a weapon. So how can you make the argument that the person is not going to be chayv miso? The Gemara makes it. The Gemara says, shisa bo sekela v'chule. V'chule, meaning the Gemara now is talking about the case that I just described, where the snake is being held in your hand. According to Rav Yehuda, where's the venom of the snake? Located on the fangs. And so therefore, it's a weapon. Meaning, it's like the gun is loaded. So when you take the snake that's in your hand and you whip it on somebody, the venom is readily there at the tip of the snake, at the head of the snake. And so therefore, you killed somebody. You, the holder of the snake, killed somebody. And the holder of the snake who caused the death, so he's going to be subject to Sayef, meaning he's a murderer, and like we learned, the murderer is Chayv Misa. However, the snake himself is not going to be subject to the death penalty. Did the snake kill? No. The snake was used as a weapon, but the snake itself did not kill. Whereas according to the Chachamim, no. Because what has to happen? The venom is only internal to the snake. Once the snake locks on its victim, then it excretes the venom, and then the person is going to die. So you, the holder of the snake, who obviously was responsible for the death, but only from a grumma. standpoint, not a biadaim standpoint. And so therefore, the hold of the snake is going to be pater. The snake itself is going to be chayev. The snake itself is going to be subject to the death penalty. We're on the very bottom of Ayin Ches, and Alaf HaMakitz, Chaver, Bein Be'evin, Bein Be'egro, V'amdu L'misa. V'heikam HaMash, Ayo L'achim, Mikan Hichbir V'meis. Chayev. A person killed somebody, but death didn't occur immediately. In other words, gave him a real blow. Such a hit. And now the person is knocked out, but not dead. So what do we do? So Basin does an umdana. Basin will have an evaluation. I'm assuming, though the Mishnah doesn't say this, that it's a medical examiner. Meaning, you know, if Basin, you know, knows it's medicine, fine. But in other words, they'll get somebody who knows about life and death, and they'll have them do some sort of assessment of what kind of blow was he given. Meaning, was his death as a result of this blow? So if he is totally knocked out, and the Mishnah says, I'm going to read the Mishnah again. Hamakas chaver bein be'evin bein be'egro v'amdu l'misa. And the assessment is, he's going to die. Meaning, he got so much trauma out of that hit, he's going to die. And then, v'heikum mamash ayah. And then he makes a partial recovery. Okay? And then, ulachim ikan hechbis v'meis. And then he goes back down and he dies. So, according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, the person is going to be chayef. Okay? Even though you could make the argument, partial recovery, how do I know that his death came as a result of the blow that he received? Since he received some sort of partial recovery, one can make the argument, you know, maybe the death was caused by something else. Maybe. The Mishnah then brings in the opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer Pato Shalor Raglayim Ladavar. So Rabbi Nechemiah talks about an exemption for the assailant because Raglayim Ladavar. In other words, we simply don't know. We have now reason to suspect that the death was not caused by the blow. We don't know this. But I'm now going to execute somebody based on something which is now subject to a doubt, meaning Vitzilus Aida. We've said since early on in this Masechta that even though, again, there's a person, a good guy, clearly not. You know, he hit somebody and hit somebody really, really hard. But is the person going to be subject to Misa? When we don't know for sure that he killed somebody? No. So Rav Nechemiah says no. Tanur Rabbanan, let's just do a little bit more for today. Zu Darash Rav Nechemiah. Im Yakum V'Yisalech V'Chutz. Al Mishan Tov V'Nikah Amakeh. The Torah, when giving this description of somebody giving a death blow, so what happens, the Torah describes him making a full recovery. Now, Al Mishan Tov literally means on his cane, but Rashi here points out, that's not the proper way to interpret the Torah. The Torah should be read, he makes a full and total recovery. And then what happens is he goes back down and he dies. Now the Gemara says that the Torah at its face value can't be where the person made a full recovery and then goes back down and goes back into critical condition and then dies. And now we're going to look at the murder and say, you're the murderer. Oh, the guy made a full recovery. Probably he died for some other reason. Again, we don't know. But we're going to execute somebody at this point in time over this. So what the Chachamim do with this pasuk is that what Rabbi Nechemiah does with this pasuk is that he tells us that the pasuk is giving us nuance. The nuance in this pasuk is that he didn't make a full recovery. If he made a full recovery, I don't need a pasuk in the Torah to tell me that now the assailant, the alleged murderer is going to get off. Of course he's going to get off. He made a full recovery. But rather, Ella, what we must be talking about is where he didn't make a full recovery, but a partial recovery. And even under those circumstances, that now brings about enough doubt where we're not going to execute the murderer, because we don't know for sure that the murderer was responsible for his death. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the machlokes between Reb Nechemiah and the Chacham.